Shalom, Chevarim. Baruch haba lahol makshavim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. My friends, I have entitled this message, number 186, Wounded Words. And although you may require a little effort to follow me, believe me, you will find the exercise well worth your while. May I tell you of one of my very early ventures into the culinary art? One day, when quite a youngster, I felt I would like to surprise my mother by cooking the beets for her. So, seizing these delectable vegetables, I carefully peeled each beetroot, just as I had seen potatoes being peeled. Then, with equal care, I sliced them thinly into a pot of water and boiled them for quite an extended period. As you can imagine, I achieved my objective in surprising my mother. I also surprised everyone else. Few dreamed that water could be so rosy red and beets so ashen white. I had drained those unfortunate beetroots of every vestige of their original and intended color. So it is, I find, with some words. Erroneous handling has drained from them so much of their original and intended flavor that they are neither palatable nor capable of being healthfully digested. My friends, such a word is the English word angel. In my last message, and to which I must here refer you, I conducted you into the august presence of a figure known in our Hebrew Bible as Malach Hashem. With only four specimen scriptures from the Torah, you speedily and correctly ascribed deity to this unique entity. He not only bears the ineffable four-lettered name, the sacred tetragrammaton, in his title, but also in his essential being. That divine titles are ascribed to him is frankly acknowledged by some of our most prominent rabbis, including Rashbam and Avraham Ibn Ezra. He is Malach Adonai. But you protest, that's Hebrew. Please say it in English. Ah, my friends, that's just my dilemma. The English language hands me back my beets. That wounded, bleached, and blood-drained word, angel. Heine observes that, and I quote, if the word lives, dwarfs may carry it. If it is dead, no giant can uphold it. My friends, I'm no giant. Therefore, ere we proceed, it is absolutely essential that we be rescued from the peril of popular perversions induced into the English-speaking mind by that word, angel. For the moment, then, let us adhere to the Hebrew word malach, and let us examine it. The root of the word is laoch, and it means to execute, to perform, to make, to accomplish, to be active, to work, to do in general. Hence, both in Hebrew and in Chaldee, the basic meaning of the masculine noun malach is an executive, a doer, one who works or does something in general. Unless my Hebrew concordances have deceived me, the word malach, in its various forms, appears 214 times in Hebrew and 2 times in Chaldee. This is a total of 216 occurrences, every one of which I have personally examined and classified. It is my privilege, therefore, to lay at your feet now the fruit of this extensive labor. Our examination demonstrates that the root meaning I have already given you inheres consistently in the word malach, which is variously translated into English by such words as ambassador, king, archangel, angel, messenger. Ordinary human beings are described by the word malach, but where this occurs, the English translation is usually messenger. Celestial beings are also described by the word malach, but where this occurs, the English translation is usually angel. Basically, then, a malach is a human being or a superhuman being who does something or works something. Very frequently, that human being or superhuman being does or works something for someone else. Sometimes for God, sometimes for man. Now, kicking the legs of our minds free from popular confusions and dismissing all the vagaries of the angelology embedded in Talmudic and Midrashic literature, and also avoiding the pitfalls of the evolutionary concepts associated with the specious historico-critical systems, we are mentally liberated to allow Scripture itself to impress its full, beneficial revelation upon our receptive collective consciousness. Distinct from many malachs, human and superhuman, which we find in Scripture, there is one all-compelling, particularly eminent malach. And it seems to me that the English language is bankrupt of any terms capable of conveying to us any really satisfactory concept of him. Certainly none already supplied satisfies me. Strangely enough, it is the Midrash Bemidbar Rabbah which carries a closer implication when it suggests this particular malach as the shadow of God. Perhaps the little-used English title, vicegerent, might be helpful. A vicegerent is one having or exercising delegated power. This malach of the name possesses and exercises the full power of the Godhead. Indeed, he frequently speaks and acts more as the gerent than the vicegerent. Anyway, the wounded word angel is far too unfitting for him. Out of the 216 biblical occurrences of the word malach, I feel I must appropriate 99 of them as pertaining to him. These express themselves in 16 different forms of the word and range through 18 books of the English Bible. Of the 16 different forms, 10 point to what he is and 6 to what he does. In this latter category, he appears in the varying roles of speaker, destroyer, smiter, mediator, and redeemer. Whilst it is true, therefore, that by derivation the biblical word malach possesses the simple meaning messenger, yet the Jewish Encyclopedia correctly affirms that the word acquires a deeper meaning, and here I quote, through the addition of God's name. Suffer another quotation from the same source. Here it is. In the earlier biblical writings, the term Malach Adonai messenger of the Lord, occurs chiefly in the singular, and signifies a special self-manifestation of God. Unquote. Here, then, my friends, is a biblical being, scripturally known, among other titles, as the Malach of the name, and whose appearing signifies a special self-manifestation of deity. Now, how could I introduce you to such a being with such a wounded word as angel, or such a wounded word as messenger? Let it not be imagined that our rabbis have overlooked or ignored this divine being. On the contrary, many of our rabbis and teachers have honestly recognized him, and they have struggled to fit him into the Jewish theology of their times. Unfortunately, they were hopelessly handicapped by the rabbinic Unitarianism into which Israel, under pressure of polemics and persecutions, had unwisely retreated in the early centuries of the Common Era. This theological retreat into Unitarianism inevitably resulted in an erroneous view of the Godhead, which could not be reasonably expected to do full justice to the biblical revelation. Nevertheless, in spite of this sore handicap, some of our rabbis have expressed themselves very boldly indeed. Let me give you an instance. In the 15th and 16th verses of the 48th chapter of Genesis, our father Israel bestows his blessing on the sons of Joseph in remarkable words, which I will translate for you as follows. The Godhead before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked themselves, the Godhead shepherding me all the days of my life long unto this day, the Malach redeeming me from all evil, bless the lads. That is the end of the quotation. Rabbi Meir ben Gabai, writing on this particular scripture, says, and I quote, "The truth that this angel, Malach, is not one of those created intelligences is corroborated through the words, bless the lads. Be it far from our holy patriarch that he should have sought a blessing for his children from a created angel, because no blessing may be sought except from him who has the power and authority to bless. Whoever seeks a blessing from any other has no God." Unquote. Further on, Ben Gabai says that it was this same Malach who gave the 10 words. We shall meet with this divine Malach again in future messages, and if a cultivated Unitarianism obstructs the biblical view of him, at least genuine Jewish monotheism, as expressed in Messianic Judaism, ascribes to him that recognition and homage which our Hebrew scriptures undoubtedly demand. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eilecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eilecha, V'yaseim lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.